So we're here this evening, all of us, trying to come a little closer to Krishna. They say when you take one step to Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps towards you. So anything we do to come closer to Krishna has a huge effect. And Krishna explains in the Gita that whatever you do in your journey towards eternity, towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, towards Vaikuntha, the place of no anxiety, then on that journey there's never any loss. And in the next life, if you don't finish it up in this life, then in the next life you'll continue from the same point. Therefore, when I came to the temple once, someone said, there's good news and there's bad news. You're here because you were doing it before. I said, that's the good news. The bad news is, you messed it up last time. Maybe we had to come back. So, there is one quality. I'm just giving a little preamble here to give you an opportunity to think of your questions, because very soon I'm just going to open it up to you. So please have your questions ready, but let me just say a few things to warm up the atmosphere. There is one quality which is said to be the mother of all qualities. That if you have this quality, generally every other quality will come from that. Anyone want to hazard a guess as to what the mother of all qualities may be? Everyone's thank you. Go ahead. Love! Who said that? Love. Very good. Nice one. If you have love, then everything else comes. Anything else comes to your mind?
Gratitude.
Humility. What do you think? What do you think a mother of all qualities is? Have a guess. Spirituality. Very good. Tolerance. So, does your mother tolerate you? All of these, so many ways we could look at it. But they say the mother of all qualities is gratitude. Our temple president, former temple president, used to say, if you're not grateful, you're great. So gratitude is such an amazing quality, because when you realize how much you've received in life, then you will always be humble, because you'll think it was never me. I always received so much. When you're grateful, you will always be tolerant, because you think, I already have got so much. What do I have to be frustrated about? If you're grateful, you will always be kind. You will always want to give, because you're thinking, I got so much myself. Every day when we wake up, we should value the fact that we're in Krishna consciousness. Because you know what? Some days, many days, maybe more days than often than not, we take it for granted. Yeah, the temple is here. Yeah, devotees are here. Yeah, the process is here. And why we haven't developed deep gratitude for what we've received, why we haven't truly understood how valuable this opportunity is, we will be missing out. You see, okay, here I have an iPhone. I just wanted to let you all know I have an iPhone. It's not the latest iPhone, I think it's an iPhone 8. What's the newest iPhone? 14? 13?
14.
Glad we are out of date. We're moving with the times, man. So I have an iPhone 8 that proves I'm simple living, high thinking. Okay. This phone, there's two ways I can develop gratitude for it. Two ways. One is if I use it to its fullest capability. I'm not suggesting you you sit on WhatsApp all day and use Safari and, you know, don't take your eyes off the screen. But when you utilize this, then you will feel grateful for it. There's only one other way I can become grateful for this. Can you guess what it might be? If you lose it. There's only two ways you can become grateful for this. If you utilize it, or if you lose it. There's only two ways you can become grateful for Krishna consciousness. Use it, or lose it. The choice is yours. And therefore, Krishna says that Manushyanam sahasreshu kashkim yadati siddhaye yadatam api siddhanam kashkim mam veti tatvatah. Krishna is giving so many verses from the Gita to help us realize how unique this opportunity is. What does Krishna say? Manushyanam, all people, sahasreshu, thousands of people, kashkim yadati siddhaye, maybe one will endeavor to find God. And out of those who are looking for God, maybe one has found the path. And out of those who have found the path, maybe one will make it. So, who wants to be a millionaire? Who wants to be a spiritual millionaire? That's the question. But in order to do that, when you wake up in the morning, you have to realize, yes, there are problems in the world. I have difficulties in my life. There are complexities. I wish I had this. I wish I didn't have this. I wish this problem I could solve. There are so many things we could be frustrated about. But when we wake up in the morning, we have to realize, you know what? I'm in Krishna consciousness. And that is the greatest fortune. And if we have that gratitude, then everything else will come. So somehow or other, we have to become grateful for Krishna consciousness. And in order to do that, you have to utilize it. Like I was saying on the weekend, if you have an iPad, but you use it as a door stopper, rest assured it's going to do the job. But you can be doing something far more valuable with that. We can take Krishna consciousness as a social identity. The people in this room are the people I hang out with. That's nice. We can take Krishna consciousness as a cultural identity. I do this because this is what I grew up with, and this is what, you know, I'm used to. Or you can take Krishna consciousness on the spiritual level. I'm doing this because I'm meeting Krishna, I'm finding Krishna, and I'm experiencing Krishna in my life. All are good, because all keep you in Krishna consciousness. But let me tell you, if you don't get to the third point of actually experiencing Krishna, feeling Krishna, connecting with Krishna, there's a good chance that over time, Krishna consciousness may slip away. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, the purpose of this movement is not meant to make you believe in God. Bhagavad Gita is not meant to make you believe in God. Bhagavad Gita is a book which is meant to empower you to experience God at every step in your life. We're not into believing in Krishna. We want to experience Krishna. And in order to do that, we need to practice Krishna consciousness very, very powerfully. So this is my few comments as we open this evening. Questions and answers are very, very important. Because then we get to the heart of the issue. I can say so many things, but I don't know what's going on in your mind, in your heart, in your life. I don't know what obstacles you're facing, what hopes, fears you have. Therefore, when I hear from you and you inquire and you ask, then we can have a more focused conversation. So I'm going to open it up. Is that okay? Yes?
Yes.
Okay, and then we're going to have some questions and answers, and then we're going to kind of see where we go. Do you guys want to say anything before I begin? Do you even? Just go straight into Q&A. Okay, so who is going to be the brave soul that breaks the ice? so that we can jump into the ocean of Krishna consciousness and have a discussion. I saw a few people flinch there. Okay. Okay, two have gone up. Okay. So, okay. Who are you first?
I wanted to ask, how do you handle being around or associating with agnostics? Because in work life and meeting with friends from your university or whatever it is, there are always some characters who come around that are agnostic.
You mean agnostic or atheist?
Agnostic.
Agnostic,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Agnostic is good.
Because they believe in God, but when you tell them about your practices, you tell them about what you do in your spirituality, in your dharma, they object it. They say that's organized religion, that's completely false. And so they sometimes feel like they're more of a pain than atheists. Because they're right at the doorstep, because they believe in God. They say, I pray to God, I do this, I do that. But when you tell them, why not just have a look at the temple, maybe just see what we do, they will never touch. But they believe in God.
So what do we do when we encounter agnostics who may believe in something but don't like organized religion, don't like institution, don't like all of this structure, don't like someone telling them what they should do? First thing is, people say they're against organized religion, but they went to an organized school, they go to an organized shopping center, they go to an organized airport. My friend, do you want to go to a disorganized airport? No, no way. If you want to go, you can go to Mumbai Airport. They're in your queues. Disorganized airports. I was just there. Oh my God, that's the biggest fear, to go in a disorganized place. People, it's interesting. In life, they love organizing. You want to go on a disorganized road with no traffic lights? Who wants to go? You'll be stuck in a traffic jam, Baba. Where you want to go in life where that's disorganized? Everyone wants organization everywhere, but then when it comes to religion, they say, no, we don't like organized religion. So what do you like? Disorganized religion? What do you like? So sometimes people are just saying organized religion. I don't know how much they've actually thought about it. If they say that they don't like someone telling them what to do, we're not telling them what to do. We're offering you an option. Krishna doesn't tell Arjuna what to do. Krishna gives Arjuna an option, and then what does Krishna say at the end? Iti te jnanam akhyatam bhuyat bhuyat ramaya vimrasheta visheshena yatejasi karmaguru. I've given you the knowledge, I've given you the options, do what you want to do. So when we speak to people, we shouldn't tell them, this is our life, this is what you should do, these are the four regulative principles, these are 16 rounds, and this is the contract that you're signing up to for the rest of your life. If you do that, then naturally people are going to walk away. But we can tell them, have you thought about life? Have you thought about this? Have you thought about why this could benefit you in so many ways? We have to awaken their interest. So, in answer to your question of agnostics, the first thing I would say is, a lot of it depends on how we speak to them. Right? If we're able to present Krishna consciousness in an inspiring way, in a way that's logical, in a way that's scientific, then people's mind will change. If we present it as a religion, as a dogma, as a do's and a don'ts, then they'll just say, okay, see you later, alligator. Right? So the first thing is in how we present it. And then the second thing is, should I tell you that most of introducing spirituality to other people is not about what we say. It's not about what we say. It's about who you are. If they look at you and they're inspired by you, if they look at the Hare Krishnas and they're inspired by what we do, if we walk the talk, if we practice what we preach, if our words and our actions in line, then they'll look at us and say, you know what, you guys are living a better life than me, I can't. So St. Francis of Assisi, he said, I preach every day, I preach from Monday to Sunday, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. And now and again I say something. And now and again I say something. Because what speaks louder than words? Someone's going to say, I can't hear what you're saying because your character is speaking so loud. Have you ever met someone who has so much wisdom to say, but you can't hear what they're saying because their character is speaking so loud it's drowning out your ears? I'll tell you one last story. There was a man who had a jacket on. And the heavens said, I want to take this man's jacket off. I want this man to open up. So what did the heavens do? The heavens sent a dark cloud with rains and wind, because it thought, with the wind I'm going to blow his jacket off. So then the wind started rolling, and as the winds came, the man, instead of taking his jacket off, blowing his jacket off, the man held on to his jacket even more and tightened it. And then the heavens realized, let me try a different strategy. So then it took the whole clouds away, and then the heaven brought out the sun, the midday sun, the Nairobi sun. And as the sun came out, then he started sweating. And the jacket came off. How do you want someone to open up? By argument, by logic, by defeating them, by giving every single argument under the sun? Or do you want to just open their hearts by your care and your love and your character? So, I'll tell you one of, oh my God, this is a long answer to your question, but I'll just tell you one other story that's interesting. Once I was distributing books, and I met one person. He said, I'm not interested. I'm an atheist. He said, do you really know an atheist? Take me all your arguments. So, boom, argument defeated. Argument defeated. I'm not glorifying myself, but I defeated every single one of his arguments. So he said, you defeated all my arguments? So I said, yeah. So I said, here's the books. He said, no thanks. But it's a deal, I've defeated all your arguments, it's a deal. He said, no, I'm okay. And then he walked off. And 30 minutes later, he came back up the road. And he had a full stack of Prabhupada's books. So I stopped him, I said, you said you didn't want any books? You told me you didn't want any books? He said, no, no, your arguments were very good, but you were arrogant, so I bought it from your friend down the road. I'm a nice guy, I'm a nice person, I'm a nice person. And then I realized it's not so much about what we say, it's about who you are. So let us think broadly about how we can attract people to Krishna consciousness. And then I'll tell you another story, since we're telling stories. There was a great devotee in our movement, his name was Jayananda. Have you heard of Jayananda? He was the first one who started the Rath Yatras. So he made the Rath. So he would go everywhere, he would collect donations, and you know, all the rough people, everyone loved him. You know, he was such a humble, sweet, amazing person. And then he would go to get the permit for the Rath Yatra. Now you're applying for a Nairobi permit. It's difficult, you know, the government is not always. But he would charm them, he would bring them sweets, and there was this lady, and she was always very heavy and rude, and, but he would charm her. And anyway, years went by and he passed away. And then the year after he passed away, the devotee, another devotee went to meet that person to get the permit. So when he arrived, this lady who was so antagonistic, she said, where's the other one? He said, who? He said, where's the guy that comes every year? Johnny Ananda. Oh, you mean Jayananda? Jayananda. Oh, yes, Jayananda. Oh, no. The devotee looked at her and said, oh, no, he's passed away. And this lady who was so antagonistic, And she said, he was the nicest person I met in my life. And you know, she looked at the devotee and she said, I don't know anything about your philosophy. I don't know what you guys do all day. I don't know what you believe in. But if that guy, if he's with you, you must be good people. If that guy is with you, you must be amazing people. That is preaching. That people look at you and say, I don't know who you are, I don't know what that thing around your neck is, I don't know what this thing on the back of your head is, I don't know what kind of clothes you're wearing, I don't know why you guys get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, but whatever you're doing, it works. We have to become the best advertisement of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said to Hari Sarayaguru, preaching is easy business. All you have to do is show people how happy you are. But you might notice the devotees are not always that happy. We have to become happy devotees, we have to smile, we have to experience it, we have to relish it. And then everyone, the whole world will come. Hare Krishna, that was an extremely long-winded answer. I hope it addressed some of the points. Okay. Yes.
We've noticed many times, you know, devotees like yourselves come over, they inspire us so much, you know, with their words, with their actions. But at the same time, we come to realize that Krishna consciousness is so nice, so rare, so sweet. But still, we find devotees who are very senior in Krishna consciousness being, you know, very difficult, being rude, being mean, being criticizing even at times. So sometimes you get that doubt that if this process is so nice and so perfect, why is it that such a senior devotee is practicing much more than me is still in this kind of state? So how do you reconcile that? Because the process is 100%. Sri Prabhupada says it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says it, but you find someone is doing way more than you. They have so many number of years more than you in bhakti. They're doing more rounds, they have more philosophy, but still they are not compassionate or they are not kind. So how do you try and balance that out before it discourages you?
Thank you, Guru. Thank you for raising a relevant question that's not always easy to ask because it's sensitive, but it's very appropriate. The first thing I would say is that if there's one thing I've learned in Krishna consciousness, is that years in the movement is not a measure of anything. That doesn't mean we shouldn't respect devotees who have been in the movement for many years. But it's not the number of years in your life, it's the amount of life in those years. So therefore, sometimes we may find someone has been around for many years, and then we may see some shortcomings. So how do we respond to this? The first thing is we should always realize there's a good chance that we could be wrong. You know, when we see faults in others, when we see discrepancies around us, then often it's a reflection of something within ourselves as well. So we should be open to that. That the fact this is agitating me, the fact that I'm seeing this, the fact that this is disturbing me so much, means that maybe some elements of those things are within me as well. So whenever faults in others misguide us, we should look within ourselves and say, do I have some of that? Am I sometimes a full prey to that weakness? So that's the first thing we should do. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, when faults in others misguide you and bewilder you, be patient, introspect, and look for faults within yourself. No one can harm you unless you harm yourself. So the first thing is we should always look for faults within ourselves and not be too quick to judge. The second thing is we should realize that in Krishna consciousness, we shouldn't always see how far someone is from the ideal. But we should also see how much they've progressed from where they were. Isn't it? Like once a devotee, he got angry at another devotee. So, you know, this devotee had said something, and then he got very angry, started chanting. And then the devotee said, how can you do this? You're Vaishnava, how you can speak in such a way? He said, you should be happy. 10 years ago, if you had said that, I would have punched you. That's not to justify, you know, speaking in that way. But it's an interesting principle that we should, when we look at a devotee, we should always think this is how far they are from the ideal. But we should also see, okay, look how far they've come. That's amazing. That means there's progress. So that's something we should bear in mind. The third thing, as I mentioned, when you see faults in others, it should not decrease your faith in the practice and the process of Krishna consciousness. It should not decrease your faith in the Hare Krishna movement. Because I can share with you humbly that there are so many saints in this movement. I used to think saints were people of the past. Saints were the people in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Saints were the people in the Bhagavatam. And then when I got the opportunity to live in this movement, I started witnessing saints in front of me. In the manor, we had one Mataji, her name was Mother Kalangana. You know what she did? For nearly 50 years of her life, she just made Mangalarti sweets for Krishna every single day. I would come back from a program, sometimes 12 p.m., 1 p.m., she would already be up chanting her rounds. She wouldn't make one sweet for Krishna before she had chanted 16 rounds. She maintained that for decades. She never criticized anyone. She would pay obeisances to everyone. She was a saint. In our temple, we have one devotee who is older than everyone else. And you know, his service has been for the last over maybe 3 decades. He cleans the toilets. And the way he cleans the toilets, my God, is more complicated than doing a deity worship. You'd be bewildered if you try to. Because he takes it so seriously. We can look in the movement and we can look around at bad examples. Or we can look around at the movement and we can see amazing examples. And we can say, you know what? I want to be like this before. And we can be inspired by that. So let us not go to the lowest common denominator and say, well, it seems where that's everyone's at. Let's go down there then. Rather, let's look at those who are flying, those who are experiencing, and let's say, I want to go that way. You see, that always helped me. So, and then on a practical level, if you do come across a situation like that, then rather than becoming bewildered, or rather than speaking out and at the risk of offending someone, or rather than making it into some gossip which then spreads bad vibes in the community, all we should do is just go to someone in a position of authority and say, Guruji, I think this devotee, the way they're carrying themselves, neither is good for them, neither is good for the community. Let's see if we can make a solution. And when we do that in a spirit of service, then we can make an improvement. So these are some humble thoughts. I'm happy for you to respond to that, if you want to say something in response.
It makes a lot of sense what you said. Sometimes the people in authority only are ones mentioned. So it's hard to go back to them and say, and secondly, like you said, we shouldn't be discouraged. We should look at the good examples. But sometimes those people who are behaving that way are chanting 64 rounds a day or 108 rounds a day. They are reading 3 hours, 4 hours a day. Still they are behaving like this. So it really discourages you and says, then I'm better. not doing that. You know, sometimes you feel like this. Because if this is all what bhakti is going to make you do, better I don't do bhakti. So, a bit of clarification there.
When you're first trained, generally in ISKCON, every authority will have another authority above them. Of course, if you're talking about the GBC zones. But I understand your point. You may say that there's someone in such a high position that there's no one who can really speak to them like that. You know, Guru, what we have to do is we have to understand Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachitananda Vigraha Anadirade Govinda Sarvakarana Karana. Ultimately, Krishna is seeing everything. We do what we can, and then after that, when we go to bed at night, we pray for that devotee. The devotee who is maybe not carrying themselves in the most appropriate way, the first thing we do is we pray for them. We say, Krishna, give them the strength, give them the intelligence to improve. And then the second thing we do is we say, now Krishna, it's up to you. I don't know why I could be. So that we have to then have that much detachment. Otherwise, you know, Kalado Shande Rajan, you won't find any shortage of issues. It's an ocean of faults. So that's the first thing. And then your second point was, just remind me.
That sometimes the devotees who you feel offended by are, you know, in very high,
positions. They're doing a lot of reading and chanting. And then we think they're doing so much reading and chanting. Then why should I do reading and chanting? Because if that's what it makes them into, it's not that Shravan Kirtan is making them into that. It's rather what other things they're doing in their life that's making them into that. Therefore, it's already mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bahu Janma Kara Jati Shravana Kirtan Tabutana Paya Krishna Padimrenimadhan. Bahu Janma, what to speak of in this life, 32 lives, you can do it for lifetimes. Bahu Janma Jati Kari Shravana Kirtan, you can do it for many lifetimes. But if you're doing other wrong things in your life, then you will not elevate. You will not go up. So that's, we already warned. We already warned. So it should not decrease our faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. Rather it should increase, because we should see, here it is. Shastra is saying, you can do chanting, but if you're not doing the other things, you won't progress. I'm seeing there are many devotees who are maybe chanting, but something's missing. You see? So, and ultimately, let us quote one of the acharyas of our time, Mahatma Gandhi, who said, be the change you want to see in the world. So you know, like one time I was with one sannyasi and one person came into the room and he said, and ISKCON is like this, and ISKCON this, and this ISKCON devotee, and this ISKCON project, and this ISKCON temple, and this ISKCON initiative, and this ISKCON regulation, and this ISKCON. And the sannyasi just looked at him and he said, you are ISKCON. In other words, we can look around and we can say, it's like this, not like this, it should be like this, and if I was in charge, it wouldn't be like this. Or rather, we can just say, I have to make it what it's meant to be. Everyone else may not do it, but I have to take the responsibility. Because Srila Prabhupada is relying on each one of us to make this one what it can and should be. So I know it's easy for me again to talk this in front of the mic, and these are not new points, you know these points. But then the challenge is for all of us to go out there and rise above. We're gonna rise above and beyond some thoughts. I hope that helps.
Perfect. Thank you.
Pray for me, I can follow it. Hare Krishna. Not so easy. Yes, okay. Okay, so one, two, and probably three, depending on the back, and then maybe if there's an advantage, then the advantage is there. Okay. Okay, so we'll go here, and then we'll go Balika, and then we'll go Oji, and then. Yeah, okay, yeah, so then we go. By the way, what if you want to add?
My question is from the Samina of the pyramid of law, duty, desire and fear. So why is it that sometimes we're experiencing a mood and then a different day or 2 weeks down the line we're experiencing a different mood from that same pyramid? How can we keep, you know, the mood going constant upward rather than it fluctuating up and down?
Yeah, sometimes you come in front of Krishna and feel fear. And then sometimes, yeah, it's fluctuating. Well, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, we're all on a journey. Ado shraddha tatha sadhu sangopa vajanam kriya anartha nirvitishtha tato nishna yujistata. He explains shraddha, you begin with faith. Then you sadhu sangha. Once you start associating with devotees, vajana kriya, definitely you will begin the process. Therefore, devotees are very dangerous. Be careful. So he says, you begin with faith, then you associate, then you do vajana kriya. Now, when you begin practicing, Chakravarti Pad says, there are two types of vajana kriya. Anishtita and Nishtita. Anishtita means unsteady devotional service. And Nishtita means steady devotional service. So when we begin doing devotional service, we begin with Anishtita. And then what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur does, he's like the ultimate psychologist, spiritual psychologist. What he does is he explains there are six characteristics of unsteady devotion. The first one is utsaha mayi, immature enthusiasm. Have you ever noticed, like someone comes to spiritual life and they're just like, I'm going to do 64 rounds every day, you know. And they think that's it for the rest of, you know, and then after like 3 days they're like, okay. This is unsteady devotion. Then the next thing, characteristic of unsteady devotion, ghanatarala. Ghanatarala, it means thick and thin, inspired, not inspired, ups and downs. Mangalarti, breakfast. up and down, thick and thin, enthusiasm is fluctuating. And then he says the third characteristic of unsteady devotion, Vyudhavikalpa. You know what Vyudhavikalpa means? Indecision, oscillation. Should I be a brahmachari? It's the best. No attachments. Direct to Krishna. No bills to pay. But then maybe I should be a grihastha. I can have a nice relationship. We can read Bhagavatam together. And then we can go on a retreat. And then we can have nice children. But no, I should be a brahmachari. Children, problems, anxieties. Sometimes they listen to you, sometimes they don't. Then I have so many other attachments. No, but we ask in life, you can have a nice house and you can be, and, you know, in a nice part of Nairobi and you can have watermelon juice when you want. So, unsteady devotion means we're always indecisive. Should I be here? Should I do this service? Should I be in London? Should I be a brahmacharya? What should I do? So it always, so this is another characteristic of unsteady devotion. Anyway, I won't go through all the characteristics. The point I'm making here is that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says there is unsteady devotion. And why is there unsteady devotion? Because there are anarthas within the heart. We have anarthas within the heart. And while we have anarthas within the heart, we always be unsteady. Sometimes we'll experience some love. Sometimes we'll come in front of Krishna and say, look, I chanted nicely for you yesterday. Now today you give me a few things also, help me out. And then then tomorrow you come in fear, oh no, Krishna, I made this mistake, bail me out, bail me out. So we are fluctuating because we have anartas. You see? So we have to get rid of our anartas. And as we get rid of our anartas, sthitam sattve prasiddhati. What is saying Bhagavatam? Nashta prayesha bhadresha nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati tamashloke bhakti naishtiki. Naishtiki, isn't it? Nishta. You want to come to naishtiki bhakti, steady devotion? Nityam bhagavata sevaya. You've got to do the process every single day. And that's where the crunch point is. Because shall I tell you? Krishna consciousness is simple, but it's not easy. Because the hard part is doing it every single day. Madhvacharya, he says, I don't measure a person by how much they can do in one day. I measure a person by what they do every day. Therefore, when I joined the temple president, he said to me, when the alarm goes off, get up, dress up, and show up. Is this an army or is this a temple? What is this? He said, get up, dress up, and show up. He said, Krishna consciousness is simple. But what makes it difficult is the everyday principle. But Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, if you manage to do it every day, Bhakti Bhavati Naishiti, you will become a steady devotee. But then if we are fluctuating, see. So anyway. Is that okay? Firstly, thank you for your honesty. Before there can be purity, there must be honesty. And therefore, someone who is ready to be honest, who can understand, purity will come. Srila Prabhupada said, chanting is like, we are like a jaundiced person, isn't it? If someone has jaundice, then everything that's sweet, it tastes sour. Give someone ice cream, vessel, it will taste sour. So Srila Prabhupada said the only way to cure jaundice is you have to keep eating sweets and gradually the taste will come back. So there's a sense in Krishna consciousness while we're in the beginning stages that chanting may feel mechanical, chanting may feel boring, chanting may be the best cure for insomnia. Chanting, it's just the last thing we want to do, right? Let's all be honest. However, there are a few things you can do. The first thing is read about the glories of the holy name. When we realize the power of the process that we're doing, even when sometimes there's struggle in that process, you'll still have the enthusiasm to carry on. So one thing you can do is read the glories of the holy name. Another thing is that if you really want to get taste for the holy name, then you also have to hear about Krishna's holy activities. Therefore, Hari Kirtan and Hari Katha go hand in hand. You cannot really access Hari Kirtan unless you do Hari Katha. So when you hear about Krishna, about Vrindavan, about Krishna's pastimes with his devotees, then gradually it gives you more of a meditation on Krishna, so that when you chant, Krishna's, the name will trigger Krishna's thoughts of Krishna. The third thing is that if 16 is too much, start with what you can do. If 16, being attentive for 16 and your mind is going everywhere, do what you can do. But be steady. Remember, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. You have to try and do it every day if you really want to break free. So do what you can do. Don't make a vow which is beyond your capacity, that then you go like from one extreme to another. Right? Because remember, it's what we do every day. And gradually, and I'll give you one other thing, associate with people who have taste for the name. Right? And I know for sure, because I've only been here 2 weeks, and I've spoken to so many devotees here, there are devotees around you who are chanting 32, 40, 50 rounds a day. They're here. I won't expose them now. They're here. There are devotees who are experiencing that. When the prostitute came to Haridas Thakur and wanted to enjoy with him, and Haridas Thakur said, yeah, yeah, I, everything I do, but let me finish my rite at least. And she just sat there listening to him chant the holy name. And she became transformed. So associate with people who have taste. So it's the greatest opportunity, and it takes a bit of time, it takes a bit of effort, and don't feel discouraged. It will come, everything will come. Chant and be happy, but in the middle you have to struggle for a little bit. So I told the guys, we should change this. Chant, struggle, and be happy. I said, no, you won't sell as many copies. It is chant and be happy, but it, you have to struggle a little bit. You have to be ready for that. You have to be ready for that.
What about the offense? That's what I'm really worried about.
That's why you do as many rounds as you can do, where you can be concentrated, where you can fix your mind, where you can just give yourself to it. 2 rounds you can do. And you can do 2 rounds. 2 rounds you say, okay, I'm going to sit down. 2 rounds for Krishna and build up your capacity. You can do it. You have to, step by step. And pray to Krishna. And he will do it. Yeah? Yes, please.
Okay, my question, I have 2 questions. They are all about the approach of preaching. The first one is, for example, you preach to a person who is from another faith. Mm-hmm. Then you bring that person to the, for example, the temple. How can you convince that person when, for the first time, he sees the deities? How can you convince that person that is not an idol, it's a deity? And how can you differentiate that person, the difference between the two? The second one is, for example, some of the books we are preaching with. For example, you introduce someone, you have a book, you are giving someone, but the cover of the book, it shows really a different picture. For example, there's a book where someone with a head or a crown is. That's also, and then you see
those shocking.
That person can react because they come from a different background. How can you approach to those kind of people and convince them?
Thank you. Difference between a deity and an idol, and how to explain that, we discussed it actually all of this morning. So I don't know, is there a recording? Or there's a recording? So that will be a 1 hour answer to your question. I won't put it through the audio now. But there are many questions. I think I went through about 10 questions that people ask about deity worship. And so I tried to offer some. So maybe there are some points in there for you. Essentially, the difference between a deity and an idol is an imagined form. It's a form which is conceived of within a limited person's mind. And then we ascribe that as an object of worship. But the deity cannot be considered an idol because this description is not concocted by man. This description is given by God Himself. This is how I look. This is how what my form is like. These are my hand gestures. So it's not a graven image. It's not a an image which is a man-made creation. It's not an anthropomorphism, it's not a projection of us onto God, but rather, anyway, it's a long topic, but you got the point, yeah? So you can listen to that. And then your other point about covers and books, and see, the way to introduce people to Krishna consciousness is you have to say something relevant to them. I heard you here in Nairobi, everyone likes English football, is it? Is it true?
Yeah.
Right? Is there any Liverpool fans in the room? Ah, Liverpool fan, huh? Next slide. Is there any Everton fan? Anyone knows Everton? Everton and Liverpool are a big rivalry in English football. Everton were blue, Liverpool were red. So once I was in Liverpool and I was distributing Krishna books, so I stopped one man and gave him a book. He says, "This is all about Krishna, King Lord of the Rings, spiritual Lord of the Rings. Krishna kills this demon, that this." This person was like, "Wow, this is amazing." So he said, "Is this Krishna?" I said, "Yeah, this is Krishna. Okay, he was beautiful." So then I said, "Here's the book." He said, "No." I said, "Why?" He said, "I'm a Liverpool fan." Liverpool are one of the Reds. He said, "I'm a Liverpool fan. This guy is blue. Blue means Everton. How you expect me? So then you know what I did? I opened the book up and then I showed him the picture of the dust on the car. I said, no. This Krishna, he comes to the world in a reddish form, Varaha. And when he comes in the reddish form, he plays football with the universe." He said, "Really? God, red, playing football with the universe? I want this book." $10. So, you see, you have to say something relevant. Sharing Krishna consciousness is not just about studying the books. It's about studying the people. Very important. If you just study the books, but you don't know what is in the minds, in the hearts, what is the needs, interests, and concerns of the people, you can say so many amazing things. You can quote so many amazing verses. And you can give the full Siddhanta of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and the person will say, "See you later." But if you say a few small things that relate to what a person is going through in their life, you can touch their heart. Therefore, when we're sharing Krishna consciousness, try to understand what is this person looking for? What is this person looking for? That's right. Book distributors. If you do book distribution, you learn all these tactics. "Here's a book, sir." "No, I don't read." "Okay, great opportunity for you to do it now." No, I'm not doing this. I don't read these books. I'm a Christian." "Great, give it to your enemies." Otherwise, you can always find a way to connect to someone, right? It's like you have to find a way to connect. Preaching means connection. If there's no relationship, there's no preaching. So, Krishna consciousness is full of so many amazing things. We must find some of those amazing things that relate to a person and use that as the hook. So it may not be relevant to immediately bring someone in front of the deities. "Okay, first day, bring them into the temple. Here are the deities." You may blow them out before you gave them a chance. Slowly, slowly, step by step, introduce them expertly. somethingness. It's a great art. It's a great art. I think it was dependent, and then we come to. Dipen was with us in the UK. He's a Latin boy. They are still in that.
So I think, you know, some of the youth, obviously, I mean, all the youth here found out about this program, the Q&A session, or, you know, forum where we can you know, raise our questions. So I've been speaking to some of the youth in the last couple of days, and there's been some points that have come up. So there's always been between the youth a sort of a disconnect and a distance to the leadership. Over the past few years that has been experienced, you know, we've had certain experiences, for example, Kirtaniyas have had certain experiences where it's not been very pleasing, to a point whereby some Kirtaniyas feel like, I'll just come to the temple, you might get and save us a need. You know? As in, it's just become a thing whereby I'll do my thing and that's what it's turned into. So first of all, I'd like to thank, you know, the leadership for this forum. It's a nice step to bring sort of bridge that gap, bring both parties closer. But what can be done? What more can be done to sort of more than rather bridge the gap, even get rid of the gap totally, whereby the youth and the leadership are working hand in hand together, you know, towards one goal. Someone raised it with a good point of Pandav Sena. Pandav Sena have a really beautiful relationship with the leadership, and things just work really well. I mean, obviously, I'm sure they have problems, but you can see what they've achieved, you know, by working hand in hand, the youth and the leadership. So, is there something you can share with us in terms of what maybe the leadership could do, or even what the youth obviously will have to do in order to bridge that gap and, you know, grow together?
Thank you, Hare Krishna. This is my last day in Nairobi, so I better not put my foot in it. He's trying to trick me up on the last day. He's trying to tell me to get me controversial. No, I'm not joking. Okay, here's what I'd say. First thing is, we should be very kind with each other. I think it was Haridila Mataji this morning said that sometimes we're very kind to people out there, but with each other we're like super harsh. Can be like really strong with each other, we can be really... The leadership has to look at the youth and see, yeah, they're trying, they're young, you know, yeah, they may not always do everything in the right way, but they got energy, they got, you know, enthusiasm, and they got so many skills, and they may not tick all the boxes of being, you know, the ideal 26 qualities of a devotee, but they're the future, and they, and Srila Prabhupada wanted so much to come. So the leadership must look at the youth with that positivity. But the youth must also look at the leadership and know it ain't an easy job. You know what? They once asked Prabhupada, what's the definition of a temple president? And you know what Prabhupada said? If something goes wrong, it's your fault. Okay, who's ready? Who's ready?
Any time. Anytime, right now, sign up.
It's not easy, huh? It's like, not just any position. Any position. You see, sometimes when you're in... I'm speaking here generally. Yeah? I don't know what's going on, so I'm not. I'm just giving you a general. You know this story? Once there was a man, so here, it was him, his old father, and a horse. So they walked through the first village, and the father was sitting on the horse and he was leading the horse. So they walked through the first village, and you know all the villagers like criticizing. Oh, just look at the father, he's older, but he makes the son walk. What kind of father is this? So then they were walking through the second village and they're who we get in the second village, let's switch positions otherwise, you know. So then in the second village, the young boy sat on top of the horse and the father. So as they went through the second village, just see these people, this young boy, he's young and fit and he's making his father walk. What kind of culture is this? So they thought, okay, next village. They said, what are we going to do? They said, you get down, I get down, we will walk. So they went to the third village. Look at these idiot people. One of them can at least sit on the horse and sell his energy, and they're both walking, such silly people. So they thought, fourth village, let's hold the horse. Can you imagine? The fourth village, and they're holding, you can imagine what everyone said. What can you say about that? This is life. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. So there are some positions in management, it's very difficult because whatever you do, someone will complain. Just not easy. We have to be patient with each other. You see, my job is easy. I come in here for a couple of weeks. Everyone cooks nice and shy. I share some thoughts. And then I go. My job is easy. But to be here every day, to work together, to have community, to respect each other, that's tough, you know? But Vaishnavas are very valuable. And somehow or other, if we can learn to cooperate, if we can learn to respect and come together and put aside differences, and here's the point, if we can come together and communicate, we must communicate. Because what happens is when there is a problem, this group goes away and talks, but they talk amongst themselves. And this group goes away and they talk, but they talk among themselves. Most problems in the world will be solved if, instead of talking about each other, we talked with each other. And I'm not saying that you're all going to get in a room and then it's all going to be smiles and eyeballs and... Yeah, maybe. Maybe there will be some fireworks. And say some money and do it at Diwali time. And maybe there will be some fireworks. But if we keep some respect and learn and be honest in Vaishnava culture and talk it out, we can overcome it. So, Bhakti Tirthamar, you know what he used to say? He said, look at all of the devotees around you. These may well be the devotees who are surrounding you when you're leaving this body. I'll be in London. Maybe. Do you want to have all that negativity? Do you want them to look at you feeling so many things? Do you want to look at them feeling so many things? We've got to somehow. It's the most difficult thing. Living in community, being united, being harmonious, there's no harder thing in Kali Yuga. There's no other thing. But if you can do it, know that innumerable blessings will come. Therefore, what does Lord say to Pachetas at the end of the fourth canto? They did 10,000 years of austerity in the river, in the ocean. And when they came out, the Lord said, I'm pleased with you. Why? Not because you did 10,000 years of austerity, but because of your friendly relationships amongst each other. They did 10,000 years of austerity, but what impressed the Lord was their friendly relationships with each other. So that's it. You can do it. You can do it. So let's talk, let's communicate, let's be together. And let's give each other a bit of benefit of the doubt. And instead of talking about each other, let's talk to each other. So it was Harika, and then there was a hand there I didn't see. Okay, Prabhuji, and then Satya Maharaji. And just tell us when we have to. 10 minutes.
How do we help?
That?
How do we help care for devotees who might be in Krishna consciousness, but they go through like a very traumatic experience, and then you know, like you mentioned, these three things that they're immature and they're thick and thin, their indecision. It happens because they're going through like a really traumatic experience. So how do you overcome? Is it okay to be unsteady at that time when you're going through that traumatic experience, or like what do you do? Like how do you regain your inner strength so that you can become steady again? But it's just not happening. You might be doing Krishna consciousness, but you're not yourself. Like you're just lost.
Kaviraj Goswami says, Durgame Patimendhasya Svahipadukate Muhu Svahipayasti Gandhima Shantishantvavalanda. He says, my path is very, very difficult. I'm slipping again and again. But the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas is holding me up. Life is full of traumas. It's a traumatic place. The material world is a traumatic place. Once Prabhupada was driving and they got stuck in a traffic jam, and then they looked out the window and there was a road sign and it said, roadworks, temporary inconvenience, permanent solutions. So the Prabhupada looked at the sign and he said, material world means temporary improvements, permanent inconvenience. Trauma, difficulties, obstacles, misunderstandings, disappointments, failures. Life is riddled with all of these things. But the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas holds us up. How many genuine relationships do we have? You see, many Vaishnavas, many phone numbers in the contact book, many names on the Facebook. How many genuine friends? Friends will keep you in Krishna consciousness. Friends will help you get through trauma. Friends will help you to see Krishna when life looks very, very confusing. So if someone can say, I have a friend in Krishna consciousness, they're very, very wealthy. One friend, it's a great wealth. Most devotees may not even have one friend, so we must invest. And if you have that, you can deal with anything. See, you're asking the kind of questions that you're asking, I could answer them in 100 different ways on different days. So today, that was how I was inspired to answer the question. On a different day, we could say other things. But today I'll share that point with you. If you have good friends, you can get through anything. Thanks. Okay. Guruji, and Rathiji, last two questions, yes.
Hare Krishna, everybody, and Hare Krishna, Guruji. Thank you for this forum again. So my question is just mainly in terms of, you know, we as the youth, maybe speaking on behalf of others who may also be here feeling the same. But you know, we engage with this process, with this organization, and you know, do our best to form some kind of a connection with, you know, Krishna. in our own ways and in our own services that we do here at the temple, you know. So how do we, you know, maintain this constant enthusiasm and motivation to continue doing that service, even after being put down, you know, in several occasions? So, you know, you may have been in one or two occasions humiliated in front of the congregation for doing a particular service. In another moment, maybe you've been taunted about how you look and appear. So how do we still continue, you know, with this service even after being, you know, put down in a few occasions? You know, we of course are young and can reach a point where we'll crack and maybe feel like, you know what, I think I should take a break from a particular service, you know. And at the end of the day, who will lose out? Not the people who cracked you, but the person who got cracked loses out, you know. So so my question is just mainly, how do you keep going, or where do you look for this motivation? Yes, we can pray for them so that they don't crack us, or we can chant and try and, you know, improve on our own sadhana and bhakti so that, you know, we can be stronger to rise above this. But while we're not yet there, you know, is there anything practical that we can do to manage the situation and not crack? Thank you.
Thank you. It's difficult for me to answer. I mean, the first thing I want to say is, of course, we apologize and we feel your pain if there was any humiliation or anything, you know. That's not nice. And we apologize that we felt like that and we had to go through that. What can you do practically? As I mentioned, the first thing is try to communicate that in an appropriate forum, in an appropriate way in Vaishnava culture, and try to talk about it. My strong feeling is that what I've seen in ISKCON is that all the devotees are, the vast majority of devotees are sincere. No one comes with a bad motivation. Sometimes the way we conduct ourselves or the way we speak inadvertently, it may come across like that. So I really feel through speaking, through communicating, a lot can be done. If you feel that still there's a, you feel not safe in the environment or not secure or not, then create a safe environment for yourself, you know, and for the devotees so that you can function and create, you know, put things in place so that devotees are protected or whatever it may be, so that you can do. Again, I can't comment specifically because I don't know. Maybe these are some of these points we have to speak more in person and we can try and unravel some of it. But as a general thing, remember, we are ISKCON. And let us make it what it can and should be. And let us not feel that it's beyond my power or beyond my scope. You see, in life, there are two circles. There is a circle of influence, and there is a circle of concern. The circle of concern contains all the things that concern you that you may not have the power to change. But within that circle, there's a circle of influence, which is the things you can change. And you know the gap between those circles is frustration. But the interesting fact is, whatever circle you focus on, that circle will expand. So if you focus on the circle of concern, all the things that concern you that you have no power over, your frustration will grow and grow and grow. But if you focus on the circle of influence, what can you do? What can your group do? How can you make it better? Then that circle will expand and the frustration will reduce. So let us speak more in the appropriate forum where we can actually unravel some of these things. But here I just give you some general principles and I hope this all some help. If there were more questions, I think you... But I think we need to finish. Come often, because I think we're on the subject. Yeah. Dear friends, it's been an honor. I've loved to be here for the last 2 weeks, seeing all of you and being with all of you. And I really thank you for the opportunity to come here. And you're all welcome to come to London if you ever need a holiday. And visit Bhaktivedanta. It's a very beautiful place. It's Prabhupada's home. It's a historic place. It's the last place in the world that Prabhupada visited before he went to Vrindavan and departed the world. And please do visit when you get some time. Otherwise, I'd like to thank you for everything. I'd like to thank Sri Gauranga Prabhu for organizing and inviting me and taking such good care of me, and all the devotees who have so kindly facilitated. And I apologize if there was anything I said or did or which maybe was not entirely appropriate. I'm a very open person, so I speak sometimes that's good, sometimes not so good. So please forgive me if there was any mistakes, and I look forward to your association with us. Thank you.